Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey everybody, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Penn Holderness. Thank you so much for clicking on the Holderness Family Podcast.
We're so happy you're here. Exciting stuff, friends.
Yes.
If you're a listener to the podcast, you already know we have a wonderful new book I'm so excited about. It's called ADHD is Awesome. Officially gets released into the world April 30th. And so writing a book is hard, right? And the beautiful people around us and Amory and Sam, the graphics in this book are so special. So it was very much a team effort. It was hard though, but promoting and talking about it is so easy. We've started to do media and podcast interviews and every single one of them are running so long. And it's not because of the people, it's because we won't stop talking about it.
Yeah,
they're like, okay, great. I'm like, and one more thing.
Wait. We got one more thing to tell you.
So we are so excited to share all of this with you.
Yeah, we want to let you know you can also learn more about getting a free chapter of our book, ADHD is Awesome, by just going to the website. It's ADHDisAwesomeBook.com. And when that happens, it's going to be like a PDF download. You'll get to see all of the color and the illustrations and the reasons why we think this book is special.
And we're going to be doing some book signings around the country starting in May. So subscribe to our newsletter to find out where we will be. You can go to theholdernessfamily.com/newsletter. All this information will be in the show notes because my favorite thing is when people give me a lot of websites and stuff. And yeah, I never remember those. So
yeah. And on this podcast specifically, we tackle a lot of different topics. We try to get better at or better understand things. And over the next month, we're going to focus a lot on neurodiversity and ADHD in particular, including 3 bonus episodes that will be coming out midweek. So we'll have like 2 podcasts in a week coming up pretty soon. And if you want to learn about ADHD, there's going to be one just about it. And then we'll talk about, you know, the other stuff.
Yeah. So on Tuesdays, regularly scheduled programming. On Thursdays, we will be focusing on ADHD. Again, that's starting very soon. Do you want to tell them about what those special episodes are going to be?
Yeah. So they kind of track along with the 3 parts of the book. You're not going to learn everything in these podcasts, but it's going to give you an idea of what each part is about. Part 1 is going to be about your brain, right? Like just learning about your brain. This was super important to me.
And me.
And you.
Yeah.
I think part 2 is going to be even more important to you. But part 1 is really about learning what's going on inside your brain. Mm-hmm. And knowledge is power, right? You learn what's going on, you're going to understand why all of these sometimes strange, sometimes wonderful things are happening to you. Part 2 is going to be understanding how that relates to relationships. Okay. Once, now that you know what's going on in your brain, how do you use those tools to improve your relationships? And Kim was such an unbelievable part of this. I don't think there's ever been a book written in tandem by a person with ADHD and the teammate or the partner that really is the primary support giver when it comes to that. Mm-hmm. And you did such a great job of that, honey.
Thanks, boo.
Part three is just life hacks, okay? It's the stuff, the systems that I have put in place and that my wife has helped me put in place to get, well, let's say to manage the shortcomings of ADHD so that you can really focus on all the strengths. When all is said and done, we believe that this book is truly going to shift the conversation that people have surrounding ADHD, and it needs to happen. From the name to decades of stereotypes surrounding ADHD, there's a lot to shift. So today, we are embarking on what we call Operation Mindset Shift. Are you ready, Kim?
I'm so ready.
We're going to change your mindset when it comes to ADHD. There's three things you're going to learn from this episode. Number one, why the name ADHD is terrible and it needs a new name. Number two, how ADHDers, that's the term we use for people with ADHD, can adjust their own attitude. And number three, how the world around us can work on getting rid of those pesky stereotypes. I want to start with a question that I want you to think about, and you don't have to answer right now, but I want you to think about it now, and I want you to think about it when we're done. Mm-hmm. If there was a magic button in front of you that you could press that would take away your ADHD, would you press that button? I think that a lot of people, with the way that the world looks at it and with the way that they look at ADHD, would press that button. And then I want you to listen to what we say and what we've kind of discovered when it comes to shifting your mindset. And I want you to ask yourself that question again at the end of this podcast.
If I don't have ADHD and I'm just partnering with ADHD, do I have the ability to hit that button?
Yes.
For you?
Yes. I love that question. So yes, if you are a partner to an ADHD person, I want you to answer that same question. I'm not saying there's a right or a wrong answer to this question. I know that it's a spectrum disorder and there are some people who are really, really struggling, and the answer is always going to be yes, yes, and yes. Mm-hmm. I also believe that it is a wonderful brain that you have. And if we can look at reframing it, there's a chance that you might not want to press that button.
Okay, let's get started.
Let's start with the name. Number one, why that name is awful and needs a new name. Kim, what's your instinct when you hear that name?
You know, it's white noise at this point because I've heard it for so long. It is only when I zoom out and really dissect what attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. It's only when I zoom out and look at those words do I absolutely agree with you that the name is awful. But again, in our house, it's so common that it's white noise.
Right. And thank goodness it's abbreviated, so you don't have to get hit in the head by that. But imagine being an 8-year-old and hearing deficit hyperactivity and disorder.
Especially when so many girls are not hyperactive. Mm-hmm. So getting that label is just flat out incorrect.
Right. It's so interesting. You can break it down to hyperactive or inattentive, mm-hmm. but that's not in the title.
Right.
It's become a catch-all phrase.
Exactly.
So the way that we look at it is we're calling it ADHD throughout this book, even though we hate it, mm-hmm. for the same reason that we would like meet a guy named Harry,
right,
who's bald.
Right.
And you're like, that's not a great name for you, Harry. You should have a different name. But then you just get to know him and you're like,
oh, it's Harry.
It's Harry.
Yeah.
Right. So, Kim, I want you, like, if you have a moment, to read some past names for ADHD.
The name ADHD, we agree, is pretty terrible. But we discovered there were some names that were even more awful over the last century. Here are legitimately some of the names that this has been called. Clumsy child syndrome.
Sorry,
hyperactive child syndrome. Hyperexcitability syndrome. That one I don't mind.
Right. Clumsy child so far just seems like a bit of a knock
Right. Yeah. But hyperexcitability, I'm like, that seems fun.
Now, do you think that's better than the current one? It might be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, but again, it's not accurate because
right.
there are so many girls and women who are just, they're not hyperexcited. Hyperkinetic impulsive disorder. Hyperkinetic reaction of childhood, yeah. Minimal brain dysfunction. Ooh, I hate that one. And this is the worst, morbid defect of moral control.
Kim, that's the second time you've mentioned hyperactivity and it being inaccurate, in particular with women and girls. You are right about that. That is very often not their diagnosis, right?
That's what we've learned, and it's so infuriating how girls and women were just as likely to be diagnosed with ADHD, but because they aren't hyperactive, they mask so well, they aren't getting those diagnoses. And that is something that could be really helpful, because I believe it, just having the names for it and having a reason behind it is so helpful.
Yeah, so let's say we threw out that name. All of the past names, including morbid defective moral control, and the present name. We've asked a ton of doctors over the course of this book, like, what would they rename it? And we kind of put a list of those together, and all of them sound better. And they're probably more accurate, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a selective focus advantage.
That's my favorite.
Yeah, because it explains, right? Because it's not a deficit of attention.
It's an abundance of attention.
Right. So if you select the right one, you have an advantage. Mm-hmm. The fact that it can be a disadvantage, let's be honest with you, if there's other things distracting you, well, you know, at least we're starting with something positive, right? There's executive function delay, which is pretty accurate.
That's accurate.
Mm-hmm. Maybe difference would work also, an executive function difference.
I like that word better.
Yeah, so maybe not a delay, more of a difference. One of them said high aptitude hyperfocus, which is ha, like H-A-H.
I like that.
Again, we're accentuating the positive here. Okay, so this one is not new. Variable attention stimulus trait, which came from Ned Halliwell, which is just saying that you have variable attention.
So, and that would be called VAST, which I really loved. And then Dr. Marcy Caldwell, who is wonderful, and you're going to hear from her in our bonus series, She you know, appreciated that name too, but said, you know, but attention isn't the only symptom. There are so many other symptoms.
She wanted regulation to be a big part of it.
Right.
Right, like the ability to regulate your emotions. And then there's one that someone came up with called boredom intolerance syndrome.
That needs to be in there somewhere. I mean, my ADHDers cannot be bored ever, ever, ever.
I've got BIS. Great. So, all right, we've reframed the name a little bit. We've got some better options for the name. But unfortunately, as we move on with this podcast, we will keep calling it ADHD. We will be right back. Don't go anywhere.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Okay, Kim, be real with me. How is your social battery right now?
It is on the verge of depletion. I love my friends, and I love to travel, and I love to travel with my friends. But something about my introverted self, that it really is, it drains me. I need to go plug in, which means go to bed for like a day.
So it's super important that you're saying this out loud.
Yes.
Because it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up, you know, after the wintertime.
It's important to know how much socializing you can withstand and how to recharge.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you actually get your energy from other people, like me, or maybe you do need that time to recharge, like Kim.
Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/Holderness today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Holderness.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Let's be honest. We've all had embarrassing BO moments. Like any time you have to speak in public, if you don't put deodorant on, it's like a different type of sweat. Ugh. And you and I did like a thing and I got done. And thank God I had a blazer on because it sort of masked it. But then I took it off and got in the car and it was just like...
There is a lot of pit sweat. Yeah. Fortunately, Lumi Whole Body Deodorant is making it so none of us ever have to worry about that BO again.
Unlike certain other DOs, Lumi is powered by mandelic acid to control odor in a new way.
Lumi delivers outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere from your pits to your feet.
Lumi is a game-changing deodorant designed by an OBGYN.
Fast forward 6 years and her Whole Body Deo has now earned over 300,000 five-star reviews.
How? Well, unlike certain traditional deodorants that try to mask odor with a fragrance, Lumi is formulated to stop odor before it starts, more like a pre-odorant.
I personally love that Lumi is baking soda free and paraben free.
You can choose from a variety of fresh, bright scents like clean tangerine, lavender sage, or toasted coconut.
Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like mini body wash or deodorant wipes, and free shipping.
As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code HOLDERNESS at LumiDeodorant.com.
That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit Lumi Deodorant and use code HOLDERNESS.
And it's Lumi, L-U-M-E. Step number two in Operation Mindset Shift is how to adjust your own attitude around ADHD. You guys, I wasn't even aware I was doing this until I wrote this book and discovered this talking to counselors and doctors, but people with ADHD are terrible at self-talk. I didn't even know what self-talk was, but I've been doing it my entire life.
Yeah, you are not on the therapy side of TikTok, so you didn't know all of this language.
Yeah.
Listen, we all do it. As a woman, the self-talk is pretty brutal, but you add on to it a layer of complexity like ADHD, and the shame spiral can be real.
You've known about self-talk for a while, right?
I think most people. I think you're probably among the last to hear the term.
Yeah, which is essentially something bad happens and you put yourself down, which is really interesting because self-talk, when I heard self-talk at first, I was like, oh, you could just be like, I'm awesome. I'm amazing. But that's not what normally happens. So I just want to read a passage from the book. Our imaginations, Kim, for people with ADHD, are breathtaking. We can use our minds to imagine what it might be like to build a sandcastle on Saturn or eat spaghetti with guava sauce or what it might feel like to be an Aztec warrior fending off Cortez. But our imagination has its pitfalls as well. Our amazing brains can envision fantastic scenarios, but they can also generate unnecessary distress. Let's say you're in a conversation and you realize you've just talked over someone who was sharing something personal. And this always happens to me. Oh, she probably didn't like that. And right away, you feel an increased heart rate as your brain registers the threat of potential social isolation when the other people in the conversation give each other's looks that say, "What's with this guy anyway?" So instead of acknowledging that in this case, there's no real threat to our safety after a conversational flub, we dwell on what went down, we replay the scenario in our heads, and we start what-ifing ourselves into a panic. Like, what if they think I'm an a-hole? What if they cut me out of the conversation? What if they tell everyone not to talk to me again? Why did I say that? What's wrong with me? I'm such an idiot. I've done all of these things. Why do I do all these things? And it's important to note that we are the only creatures on Earth who do this. Like, you never catch a cat saying, "Thank goodness those firefighters arrived when they did. I would have been up in that tree all night. I'm lucky they saved me from my own stupidity." No, cats just move on to the next thing, right? the bottom line is, and this is the, again, this is stuff that you learned on TikTok a long time ago. When your imagination leads you to being self-critical, you're basically bullying yourself. Mm-hmm. And I had enough bullies as a kid.
Yeah.
Kim, why do we bully ourselves? Why do we have this inner bully?
I think everybody comes equipped with one. I love and admire people who seem to work their way out of it in a very natural way. I don't know another way to do it. And I don't have ADHD, but I do know that there is a special amount of shame that you come equipped with.
And Brené Brown told us that shame is based on what you are rather than something that you did, right? It's this overarching feeling. And people with ADHD have such strong emotions. Like when something goes the wrong way, it tends to steamroll that way.
Speaking of that, we are doing a lot of media interviews to promote this book, which we're so excited and thankful for. And you wrote a bulk of this book, which is the most appropriate thing ever, but I am participating in these interviews. And of course, to set the story and to tell the story, they have to ask about all the crap that goes wrong. And I have to sit there and they need a story. So I have to tell the time you left the stove on and almost burned down our house, or you left the keys in the refrigerator again, or we spent an hour looking for your inhaler. Like, I have to detail those. And it's, I can feel you're squirming every time I have to do that. I don't love having to do that. Legitimate question. How should I be handling that?
Exactly how you should. Like, thank you so much for feeling that or noticing or empathizing with me. The bottom line is I am reliving some parts of my life that I have solved for the most part. Like, I've put systems in place to help out with those things. It does hurt because I know that I still have the capacity to do all of them, but it's good exercise for me when I hear you do these things, because I've got to work on my reframing. Like, when I hear those things that I wrote, by the way, mm-hmm. I've got to work on reframing what's going on in my life, what my shortcomings are, even like specific instances, what's happening to me. And again, changing my mindset, like we've just talked about. So in the book, we have this thing called the 4 R's of reframing. Mm-hmm. And so while you're doing those things in the interviews, which is very helpful to, as a partner, like explaining how this is tough on you, I am actively trying to go through these 4 R's.
Okay.
So the 4 R's of reframing, the first one is to recalibrate. And this is, I believe, the most important one. It's where you ask yourself, was that really that bad? Right? So imagine, this is great advice that I got from someone. Imagine that you're watching the event that I'm describing going on in an online video, right? Like, would I stick with the video until the end, or would I scroll right past it because it's such a common mistake? And a lot of times, like, forgetting to put the, you know, laundry in the hamper, like, I'm not watching that as an online video. It's something that I need to work on, but I do need to, at some point in time, look at it and say, this isn't the end of the world.
Right.
The second R is to remember, I'm not alone. I think I say you're not alone in this book 422 times, and I mm-hmm. can't say it enough. Because I don't know why it is, but when something like this happens to a person with ADHD, one of the first thoughts that goes into their mind is, I am a freak. There's no one else like me in the world. Mm-hmm. And the bottom line is there are quite a few people, and it's not just ADHD. It's other types of wonderful neurodiversity who struggle with these same things on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. The third R is, and we're going to talk about this one a little bit longer, because this one always has to come with a caveat, is to remind yourself when something like this happens that you describe is, it's not me, it's my ADHD. Careful there, right?
Yeah. So we get a lot of questions about, you know, how do you deal with people who use ADHD as an excuse? Oh, sorry, couldn't help it. I left the stove on. Didn't, you know, oopsie daisy, it's my ADHD. In our house, ADHD is an explanation, not an excuse.
Right.
And I think because I know you and I know you so well, I know you feel shame. So I don't ever think that you're using it as an excuse. But I imagine there are people out there who have not or not as far along in their journey who may still be using this as an excuse.
It's so important that this is for self-talk, not for strategy in life.
Right.
The fourth R is to reward yourself for being compassionate with yourself. All right, we need dopamine, right? So you go through this list of R's. This has to be the last one. First of all, you recalibrate and ask yourself, was it really that bad? You remember that you're not alone. You remind yourself that this is an involuntary symptom. You can work on it, but it's an involuntary symptom. And then give yourself a pat on the back. You've got to make self-compassion a habit, right? You can't just do it once. And the way that ADHDers do well with that is by rewarding themselves. That little mini dopamine hit, right? So it's using that positive reinforcement. And I think it can be very, very simple for this, okay? Let's say, and I'm just going to skip right to the thing that I'm the worst at, which is listening. Let's say my wife is telling me something and I don't make it to the end of her sentence or her thought. And I've lost track of what she's saying. And it's very important. And I don't know what she was saying. Boy, that is where the most self-talk comes for me. That's when I think, oh my gosh, what am I as a partner if she has lost respect for me and she doesn't feel like she can confide in me? So I got to do those first three things. I've got to recalibrate myself and say, okay, this is not, I didn't leave the stove on. It was a conversation. I know she's going to be hurt, but it's not the end of the world. I have to remind myself that this doesn't just happen to me, even though, oh my gosh, it feels like it happens to me and me only when that happens. And then I've got to, I've got to remind myself that it's my ADHD and that it's not me, not use it as an excuse. Probably need to apologize. Mm-hmm. It may not change how she feels, guys. She might still be upset. She might, in fact, when it does happen and I apologize, she stops. The sentence is over. I've lost the moment. Mm-hmm. I've got to do better next time. So boy, in that moment of despair, I've got to find a way to have self-compassion. And the way I do it is, you handled that well, try to do better next time. So you apologized well. You didn't talk down to yourself. You're going to do better next time. Good job.
A little reward.
Yeah. Even though I know I made a mistake. Mm-hmm. And oh my gosh, Kim, I know how much you hate it when this happens. Like, I can feel it when this happens. And I don't blame you, because it sucks when you're trying to express yourself and someone doesn't listen to you all the way through.
Mm-hmm. But it's important that you not go down a shame spiral. Mm-hmm. I think also it helps that you're acknowledging it by, not just be like, oh, well, can't help it, moving on. I mean, you do apologize and you apologize well. And it is helpful to know that you do continue to, work on these things.
Yeah. Okay. So let's see. We have talked about the name ADHD. We've talked about how ADHDers can adjust their own attitude. Can we as a third part, talk about educating others about reframing stereotypes when it comes to ADHD? If you have it, you have heard a lot of descriptions of your personality, and they're not always positive. In fact, they're almost always negative, right? So let's play the reframe game. Kim's going to name some stereotypical ADHD traits, and all we're going to do is change the name, change the descriptor, and let's see if this actually makes more sense from time to time when describing someone with ADHD.
And I'm imagining all of these labels are being said to a 7 and 8 year old. And these are really heavy labels to be putting on a child. The first one, hyper.
Yeah. Like first of all, I get it. Your leg twitches, you bop your head, and you're trying to read a book and you leap up to check if there's anything else going on. There is a lot of hyperactivity. It is energetic, though. Constant motion is not a bad thing, right? Like, a sedentary lifestyle has been shown to increase the odds of cancer, high blood pressure, diabetes. So, energetic is not necessarily bad. Kim, you're going to love this stat. Fidgeting burns 350 calories a day.
So you're saying, instead of hyper, we should reframe it as energetic.
Yes.
Here's another one. ADHDers can be labeled easily bored.
Okay, what about hungry for something new?
Much better.
Right? You, as someone who is easily bored, it just means that you're trying to get out of what the status quo is and find some other option. Understanding that occasionally you need to do boring things there are certainly some advantages to this. This is, we're talking about kind of the crux of creativity here, right? Finding new options, new ways out, new routes, problem solving based on seeing the way things normally are and wanting to go in a different direction.
While I love a diagnosis, I love a name of an emotion, I love the rules of things, I'm not one that's going to blindly follow. So a nonconformist to me is somebody who's curious and questions things. Okay, how about this? Troublemaker.
Fun. You Sorry. Know. Hang on. All right. We're like, sometimes this is tough, right? I'm basing that on the fact that what kids are expected to do at certain ages sometimes is, I think it's asking a little much.
And I think that, you know, by and large, the ADHDers are charming and funny and life of the party and are fun seekers. It probably is hard for the mom who just got the call from school that their 8-year-old is having too much fun in class.
Right.
Like, that's not the word they're going to use. But I think as an adult, man, that kid's going to be fun. Okay, how about this? Impulsive.
Impulsive is creative.
Mm-hmm.
Impulsive is creative. If you, again, we got to manage the other stuff, right? Like, don't be impulsive. Don't interrupt people. Try to let them finish their thoughts. Remember, there's other people around here who have thoughts that are just as valid as yours. Our neurons fire with creative ideas all the time. It is one of the great trademarks of ADHD. And impulsive is part of the diagnosis, mm-hmm. right? You're either impulsive or inattentive or hyperactive, but creative is not part of the diagnosis.
I know, and it should be, because scientifically proven ADHDers are more creative, right? There have been studies. Let's zoom through the rest of these. Risk-taking.
Brave.
Overreactive.
Sensitive.
Non-compliant.
Independent thinker.
Unpredictable.
Flexible.
Distractible.
Let's take a little time on this one. Curious.
Curious is my favorite personality trait.
Yeah. So if you are easily distracted, it's because you are curious about something else.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, most of the people that we know have jobs and go to colleges and have majors because they're curious about one particular thing. So being curious is great, but at some point in our lives, we're going to have to narrow down something specifically that we're curious about. And I guess that's mm-hmm. sort of a challenge.
Okay, sloppy.
Okay, I really reached on this one. Focused on the big picture.
Okay, that's a reach.
Well, can I read this bit?
Okay.
Okay, I don't suffer from perfectionism. There are certainly times I wish I could edit myself or let things simmer a little longer instead of announcing we're done as I rush across the finish line. But not getting hung up on every little thing allows me to, in the long run, potentially be more productive. You buy that?
I'm not buying it. I'm sorry. Okay. I know it's printed in a book that you wrote, but yeah, no.
Hey, listen, I'm trying to reframe as many of these things as possible. And I knew that one was going to be the hardest one for you because you are very clean and neat. But
that's my own kind of neurospiciness is yeah. that, you know, my anxious mind needs calm and order. So
let me ask you this question. We're done. And this is a question for someone who's listening. So having heard all that, have you changed your opinion about whether you would press that button that would make your ADHD go away? Or if you're a parent or a provider, have you changed your opinion? If you haven't, it's okay.
Yeah.
But I do believe that if people learn more about what ADHD is, more and more people will say, I don't know if I want to press that button. Mm-hmm. I for sure don't want to press that button. I went through some really shameful moments that I've felt, like interrupting my wife in a conversation. And I will never, ever, ever forget those moments. But on the whole, I love my brain. Mm-hmm. And I would never, ever press that button. For me?
For you.
Do you sometimes feel like you might want to, though?
There are many times.
Sure.
When I am thinking, I am sick of being the only person that sees the mess in this house. I'm sick. But I know this mess comes with a ton of creativity and a ton of fun. And I could have like a boring old regular husband, or I could have you, and I like you.
Oh. Well, thank you for listening to my TED Talk. I know you received a lot of penholderness on that podcast.
I love it, though. I love it. I'm in awe of this book, and I'm so thankful for it. And I'm so excited for everybody to read it. Thank you for joining us. I hope you have a great week. And remember, starting next Thursday, 3 weeks of double podcasts, special ADHD bonus episodes. Okay, love you. Bye.
Bye.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.